What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Producers Journal podcast. My name is Derek. I am your host of this podcast. Thank you for joining me. You can check my business out at ShelbyRowProductions.com. This is a podcast production agency that handles the production of podcasting for businesses, CEOs, thought leaders, entrepreneurs. So you can check out more at ShelbyRowProductions.com. If you're interested, sign up for a free consultation. 15 minutes, go to the website, scroll down to the bottom, and go ahead and schedule a spot for you. Instagram at Shelby Row Productions LLC. Facebook at SRP Studios. Plus, click on my Patreon link in the description. That will help support this podcast, and I would greatly appreciate that. All right, everybody. Hope you had a good week. I had a very busy one. Lots to catch up on here. The first thing I want to talk about today is the relationship I have with the DeSoto County Career and Technology Center. I've been speaking about that briefly here, and I think my last episode is where I got more in detail on how it works. Update with that, I went to the classroom this week to introduce myself, and originally was supposed to interview the principal as a way to get the kids, you know, involved, feel like, you know, see what this is going to feel like. But she was not available after all. So we had to reschedule the interview, which I'm going to keep and use for the real Hernando, by the way. I still went anyway, introduced myself to the class, which was very weird. I sat in front of the class. First time I've done any of that. And going into it was a little nervous, but I also know that I'm going to be doing more of these things. Just the reality of my business. Eventually, I'm going to be speaking in front of more people. So I jumped in and didn't overthink it. Didn't get too nervous, but obviously it's unnerving. It was unnerving. So, but it was good. The kids were kids. They were teenagers. Small percentage gave a crap. And then there were a few that really did stand out. And trust me, I take mental notes on those things. Got some contact information for some of these kids. And let me stop there and interject a little bit. Hopefully you guys don't hear this. I'm readjusting my stand here. Let's kind of treat this as a sidebar that relates to the Career and Technology Center, but brings in this new dynamic of working with teenagers, whether they are interning or working. I am experiencing, how do I say this? It's weird trying to conduct business with a teenager. Not because they're a teenager and they have the attention span of a gnat, but it almost feels creepy. Like, am I supposed to ask a junior in high school for his or her phone number? And that it's extra concerning when it's a girl. You know, and I had the two ambassadors here, and one of them I spoke directly to the father. The other one reached out to me, the actual student, and we texted back and forth, and that was like, okay, she reached out, so we're just communicating. But then I went to the class, and I was like, all right, y'all, give me your contact information, and I gave them a piece of paper for them to write their name down if they're interested. Some kids didn't care, and some put their names down, some put emails and phone numbers. And I'm like, this is weird. Like, how do I just cold call a teenager? And obviously so many businesses hire 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds, and I get it. But what happened was the next day I emailed this one particular student that really stuck out of the crowd, instantly engaged, instantly showed interest, not only showing interest, but came up with ideas on B-roll and how to film these interviews for The Real Hernando. And she was just, she stuck out more than the ambassadors. If based off of all the information I have at this moment, if I had to make a decision to hire one kid out of that class, it would be this girl that I'm not going to say the name of. But she definitely stuck out. Now, who knows? She probably wouldn't work out. But if I had to choose this second as I record this based off of meeting these kids, she'd be the one. So I emailed her. That's all I had. And was like, hey, it was nice meeting you. I really enjoyed your enthusiasm. I'd love to set up a time and show you the studio. You know, let me know if you're interested still. And I hit send. And it felt weird. It did. Like, should I be emailing this kid directly? And I feel like I shouldn't. And I need to work through the parents. So when I see them again next week, which is when we're going to try the interview again, it'll give me another opportunity to talk to some of these kids and feel more comfortable. Like, hey, I want to try you out, or I want to try you out. What are your parents' contact information? What's your mother's phone number? What's your father's phone number? Okay, great. Thank you. I'm going to be in touch with them and work this out. And I think that's the best way. You know, I don't know. It's all brand new to me, you know, working with these kids. It might change a little if I'm actually paying someone. And let's say this girl works out where I do want to hire her for X amount of hours a week to be my production assistant, on-field production assistant. Okay, it's a little different. Plus, you get to know each other and you establish hours. And okay, it gets more and more business, and I'll probably just get used to that. But right now, going to a classroom and, hey, what's your phone number? And what's your phone number? That just seemed weird. So anyways, that's a sidebar there. But that's where that stands. Going to see everybody next week. And I'm definitely going to try to talk to the kids more, maybe not in front of the class, but get to know these kids and you know, pick on the kids that might not show interest and at least introduce myself more formally, like, at their desks, you know, in their group. I don't know. We'll see how it goes, but that's where that is at. The Rhythm Section podcast is officially launched. Episode 1 went out as I record this on Monday. I'm recording this on Friday. So 4 days ago, I had some good response, some good views on YouTube, which is the only place you can find it right now. So go to my channel, just search my name, Derek Michaud, M-I-C-H-A-U-D. Go to the homepage and you'll see the playlist, the Rhythm Section. There's only one episode on there right now. Episode 2 is recorded, edited, uploaded, scheduled, ready to go. I finally promoted episode 1 with the thumbnail on Facebook, and also I cut up a clip last night and pushed that out. Without question, I'm going to be promoting these episodes with clips. Right now, where it's just me and Jeff, you know, we're not that interesting. So I just did one as another way to get some reach and actually show our moving faces on Facebook instead of just a thumbnail. Right now, when I say promoting on Facebook, it's me and Jeff promoting on our personal pages right now. The podcast does have its own Facebook page and Instagram page, but they are just skeletons. I secured the names, and when those are ready to go, I will announce those, and working on the cover art for the podcast, and we'll eventually be syndicating it to Apple and Spotify and Google Stitcher and all the major players. So we have some awesome interviews coming up as I record this. In 2 days, Jeff and I have our first interview. We're going to have our first guest come into the studio, which is going to be great. It's going to be a new dynamic. It's going to be exciting. It's also given me another reason to test the studio. This is a first. Everything, there's a lot of firsts right now. This is absolutely the first time that I record an episode in here with two other people, my co-host and a guest. Quite honestly, this is just because I'm recording him this weekend doesn't mean he's episode 3. I don't want to confuse anybody. But Sunday's going to be our third recording session. Two were me and Jeff, and now we're going to do one with a guest. Pretty exciting. And I had to buy some things and get things ready for it, and eventually building to the point where we can have two guests. So it'd be four of us at the table, and that will max me out. But that's what we're working towards. Check it out. Go to my YouTube channel and find the rhythm section playlist on the homepage. Okay, new client. I bring this up because it's finally here. Like, I finally got a new client, and it was referred to me through a current client. And this client has sent me a few people, which is really nice. I think a total of four. But some of them started and fizzled out. Some never really got started. And then I have one that is a rock star, and he's got a new episode every week for his podcast. It's called The Uncommon Element by Josh Meunier, if you want to go check that out. It's like a leadership podcast. So I got another referral by this gentleman. His name is Sean, and interviewed and or consultation and just talked through everything, and he is into it, wanted to do it. The reason why I bring this up is if I'm to try to educate a little bit here, if there's any young producer out there, I'm talking to you, okay? If you don't have some kind of service agreement that needs a digital signature, get on that and create something. It will save yourself a big headache. And I've learned the hard way in the past, and I use an app called PandaDoc, which is free. That's why I use it. And I'm not going to get into the details on how it's work, how I use it and how it works and everything. But, you know, you upload a PDF, and then you can assign an email to it, and then it sends to them. And then you create regions where they have to sign, they have to put a date in, they have to click a box in order for them to truly agree to the services. It all starts with like a Google Doc, and you just write out what you need. So let's go to that part. I always thought like an agreement was like a contract. No, this is not ironclad service agreements. But what it is making sure everyone's on the same page, literally. And it's your opportunity to set the boundaries and draw clear lines on what's expected of you. And this is actually more important, what's expected of the client, because it's a partnership. You need them and they need you. I can't edit something that's not recorded and handed to me. They need to do that part. Okay, well then how are they going to deliver it to me? Well, I use Dropbox, so that's a boundary in there or whatever. And you can establish all those boundaries, who's doing what. You obviously establish the money. You establish timeline. You also, what's important is when you send them the document for them to sign, you absolutely want to give it an expiration date, because you don't want them coming back since 6 months later and expecting that same price. There's a good chance your prices are up. So you always put an expiration date. This agreement and this rate is valid for 30 days. After the 30 days, prices are subject to change. That's important. And I've fallen into that trap before, and someone comes months later expecting the same rate, and I legitimately had raised rates at that point and needed to for reasons and labor and everything. And I'd be like, sorry, you know, since we last spoke, rates have gone up. And some have been, okay, I'll go with what you have now. Okay, I understand. It's now you're out of my price range, but I get it. And then some got pissy about it. Oh, I'm sorry. Where were you for the last 6 months? So that's another important part. Community guidelines. Hate speech, racism, whatever. I don't have it in front of me, so I should have done that so I could kind of go through each section. But put a section in there where it basically says, I reserve the right to deny editing and producing your podcast if you're pushing out racist content. Now, this is a touchy subject because the term racist and racism has, in my opinion, been watered down a little bit. Some things that may not seem racist are now being categorized as racist or hate speech. And it's up to people's interpretation. And I did not mean to go down this road and on this soapbox, but you know, I guess I'll talk about it because that's the section of the service agreement. It's your discretion as the producer and the person producing this. I know of someone that owns a podcast production agency that is very left and makes it very clear that right-wing views are not allowed. So he's definitely painting himself in that corner. I'm wide open. I don't give a shit. I don't care. If you want to do a podcast about Trump, let's go. You want to do a podcast about Biden? I don't care. Let's go. Social left, social right. But I'm not going to get into conspiracy theory and truly harmful content. Anyways, if you feel like you do not want to work with a client that does not fall in line with your values, well, then lay it out. What are your values and what don't you want to deal with? It's up to you. You can make it however you want. That's the beautiful part. And when this person signs it, sends it back to you, it should be very clear. And you're going to learn as you go. You're going to notice something and be like, ooh, I wish I would have had that in the agreement because the client asked me a question and now I have to make a decision on maybe doing some more work for the money that we agreed to or whatever it may be. As you go, just keep upgrading, update, update, update. And then at some point, it becomes sort of like an ironclad contract, but it's not a contract, it's an agreement. A contract would mean, which would be nice to have, it means that your client is hiring you for 12 months and guaranteed retainer per month, whether they want to quit or not. That'd be nice, you know? But that's not what this is. But you want the agreement part of it as tight as possible so there's no gray area and everyone's on the same page. The other part of that that I'm finally figuring out forever after doing this the wrong way for a long time is charging on the front end. For example, there's two phases and there's two rates that I pitch to a client. It's if they're starting from scratch, it's a brand new podcast. Well, we have the development and launch phase, which is its own service agreement, its own invoice, its own rate. And then you jump into the long-term relationship where now you're producing episodes week to week, every other week, whatever the schedule is, which all of that ties into this agreement too. But that will have its own service agreement, its own rate structure. And obviously now it's a long-term, so it's a month-to-month type of deal. The development and launch phase is a one-time fee, one-time operation. Because once it's developed and launched, it's that part's done. And what I used to do is give all that service and then charge. I always felt like, and it still is this way to some degree with a lot of clients, is I'm not going to charge you until the product is done. So that way you approve of it and you're happy with it, then I'll charge you. And that is the case for a lot. But now I'm flipping that around because so many times I've hired a vendor, I've hired a coach, I've hired other services, and I get an invoice within minutes. And I'm doing that now because what happens is someone comes in and they are ready to go and they want to change the world with their podcast. They come in hot, they agree to the development phase, And then, okay, well, we need to do these 10 things. You have your homework. I have mine. Going back to the service agreement. This is what you're responsible for. This is what I'm responsible for. If we do what we're supposed to do, this is going to happen quickly. And then they drag their feet. They drag their feet. And part of the deal is creating a cover art design for them. Well, I don't do that. I pay my buddy Mondo to do that. Okay, well, now he makes a cover art. I owe him the labor for that. But then the client drags his or her feet for another 3-4 weeks. And meanwhile, I've already had to pay Mondo before getting paid from them. And that taps into the business cash flow crap that can just eat you alive. No more of that. I charge up front. And my favorite part of that process is it really just puts the ball in their court. Because now it's like, here's the agreement, here's the invoice. And it states in the agreement, this service starts only when this is signed and upfront payment is paid in full. That way I can just sit back and let them decide. I'll follow up. If it's a week, I haven't heard back from them, I'll follow up. Hey, would you like to get started? I still want their business, but it's a clear line. This is what you need to do. You're next. Sign this, pay that, and we'll get started. And before thinking about those things, it was, okay, let's get started. When do you want to get started? Okay, you want to go now? And then weeks down the road, they would flake out, and then I would, I'd have to then, okay, well, can I just charge you for the cover art so I can pay my guy? And it just blah. Now it kind of weeds out the people that might not be totally on fire to do this, because now it's crunch time. Now it's go time. They have a serious decision to make. They're signing an agreement and paying a good chunk of money for a service on the front end. They're going to sit back and be like, do I really want to do this? Or is it just a fun thought? Because that's what podcasting can be for some people that want one, is it's a fun thought. It looks like it'd be fun. You love listening to them. So automatically you would love hosting one, and you envision yourself talking to an audience and getting download numbers and just changing the world with your podcast. And then you decide, I'm going to do it. Okay, how do I do it? And then that's where things change. Oh, it takes work. Oh, it takes money. Oh, okay. No, I'm not doing it. And some people get to that point where they verbally agree with me, and then they don't back it up. And then there's back and forth, and then eventually just ghosted. They just move on. I've had some situations where they come in, we do the whole development phase. We release one episode, launched, syndicated. We do one episode, we push it out, and then they quit. I got paid for all those, and still I didn't charge on the front end for those, and those caused headaches because they were dragging their feet. I had to hold their hands. That's the other thing about the service agreement. You don't literally say, I will not hold your hand. That's kind of what it does, though. It puts, clear lines. That way you're not chasing them down and holding their hand. You have your roles. And in those situations that people just bail after an episode, they're like, oh, it just took so much more time than I anticipated. Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy doing a podcast. So the moral of this story is, because I got to wrap this up, the moral of the story of the service agreement and the invoicing on the front end is just a way to, it's a way to save yourself a lot of headache, ultimately. And then it could help you financially, because now you're getting paid on the front end. And on the other side, I've had a situation where someone paid a non-refundable rate and fee and then decided to not do it and was like, okay. And no, I didn't refund them. Because I had to stick around for a month chasing him around to try to get things started. And no, you signed the agreement. It's non-refundable. It's your choice that you're moving on. That was so great that I had that in writing. Because the other thing you have to think about, and I know I keep going back here, I'm trying to end this. When you take on a new client, that client has just reserved a chunk of your time. Even if you have a team and you can really handle a lot of flow, at the end of the day, I have a team and I, as the producer, I'm totally hands-on to all new developments. You know, I'll task my designer and editors to work on things, but it's one-on-one with me. So they're taking my time. So of course I charge them for that, but they're also holding a spot. So if someone says, yes, here's $1,000, Derek, we're going to develop a podcast. And then 6 weeks later, they still haven't done anything. Well, that whole time, technically, I should be weary on getting in new clients because I know I got to keep myself available for this client here, client X. Trust me, I take whatever clients are coming in, but some solopreneur producers that they don't have a team, nothing. They only work with, like, let's say 8 clients, period. And they can charge more because it's like, hey, I only do so many clients. If you really want my time, you really want my commitment to you, you have to commit to me because you are taking time from me. Anyways, that's the point. Saves you a bunch of headache with that service agreement. Make it your own. You know, don't be too crazy with it because you don't want to scare someone away. Make it fair, but you can create your own boundaries and guidelines and then send that invoice right along with it and then sit back and wait. If you don't hear from them in, you know, 3 or 4 business days, follow up. Follow up again. You want to keep following up with them because you want that sale. You want that client. But what you don't have to do is think about any development stuff. You're not having to worry about trying to design cover art or think of how to produce their intro and choose music for them. You don't have to think about any of that yet. Because not until they sign and pay, then you're locked in. And now it makes you feel more confident moving forward with this client because they've made that commitment to you. So now it's time to give it back. All right. Woo. I really do appreciate you all listening, and you all leave some good comments on my YouTube channel. And I must say that, let me add to that. Even though you can find this podcast on all the major audio platforms, the best way to comment anything specific to these episodes is to go to my YouTube channel, find the episode, and comment on it there. Let's say you listen to it on Apple. Great. That's awesome. But then you're like, oh, I got a question about Derek for this topic. You go to the YouTube channel, find the episode in there, and you can comment in there. Because even though this is an audio-only podcast, it still syncs up with YouTube as a static screen video. And so you can still technically listen to it on YouTube. But that's the best way to communicate and become part of this podcast, you know, community, is to comment on the episodes and YouTube. But then you can also direct message me on Facebook, go to my website, you can email me through there too. And all would be appreciated. Again, click on the Patreon link. That's $1 a month. It's called the tip jar. It just goes a long way to help support this podcast and some of the labor that comes with it. All right, y'all. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you later. We'll be right back.